Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church on this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, as we continue our Wednesday night series, just going through and studying on the life of Joshua. And, well, it's already been just a blessing to look into the words of God to find out, first of all, how God prepared Joshua for the call. And there was a lot that went into that and the preparation for the call. Then we studied the call as God called Joshua and how that God has a will for all of us. And he will call us if we'll be listening to that. And then what Joshua could expect of God and what God would expect of Joshua. And there's expectations in any and every relationship. And we especially our relationship with God. He wants us to know what we can expect from him as he expects from us, as we do what he expects from us. And his expectations of Joshua, remember, just to be strong, courageous, and no fear. Strong, courageous, and no fear. And boy, if we can just know that's what God would have us to do, and if it's God's will for us to do that, we can do that. We can be strong, and we can be courageous, and we can overcome fear. And so I trust that that was a help to you as well as we studied that. Now tonight we're going to be looking at verse 10 down to verse 18. Verse 10 down to verse 18. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. I know it's a Wednesday night, and no doubt everybody's already had all kinds of situations you've dealt with since Sunday. And that's all on your minds, and not only what you've already dealt with, what you have coming up for the rest of the week. But the most important thing for us to do tonight, as every time we assemble ourselves together, is just to focus on God and what he has for us through the services. And so I trust that we'll all be able to do that and receive exactly what God has for us tonight through our study in the book of Joshua. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses thy servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Yeah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in church. And I pray now, God, that you would help each one of us to just put things out of our hearts and our minds and just look to you. And I pray, God, that you would anoint and bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the first things we notice here is after Joshua had received his marching orders, Joshua immediately implements God's orders. He has that on his heart and his mind, and he's not going to delay the obedience. The Bible says, then that idea, then Joshua commanded the officers, right after he understood the marching orders, right at that very time, as soon as he could, he wanted to put it into place. He wanted to get started on accomplishing what God had commanded them to do. I love what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 60. He says this, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. That's something that all of us need to do. Once you receive your marching orders, we need to be ready to implement those as quickly as possible. It's been said to delay in obeying is disobedience. And the longer you put it off, the longer you're disobeying the commandments of God. And so we need to get on that. Once you understand that it is what God would have us to do, then we need to just start doing it. We need to start implementing whatever needs to be done to get that order accomplished. And so we find here that Joshua immediately starts to doing it. And the first thing he does here is then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Now he realized that this was something that he was not going to be able to accomplish on his own. And so he looked to those in whom God had given him to be able to accomplish this great task. Now we've already studied the task, the great task that it was. Now he understands that if it's God's will for us to do it, then he'll enable us, and I have to use what God has given to me. And he addresses his officers. His officers were there to help Joshua get the job done, not to decide if they would do it. Now get a hold of that, because that's very important, because that's where 40 years earlier they messed up. Moses, the great leader that Moses was, he messed up in that he did not take the leadership position that God had given to him. And he allowed the people, basically the 10 spies, to influence the people to make the wrong decision. But I believe that Joshua has learned from that. And now after 40 years and seeing what God had to do to prepare them at this point to possess the land, once he had God's command and God's orders to possess the land, he was not asking for anybody to help him to decide if they were going to do it. He already determined, because God had given that to me, we're going to do it. We're going to make sure that it gets done. Can I tell you, if God has given you a headship and you know what he wants you to do with that headship, don't let anybody talk you out of it. It will come a time when Satan is going to do something, send somebody to discourage you, to hinder you, to keep you from obeying the commandment of God. And in disobeying the commandment of God, you'll not accomplish what God has for you to accomplish in the position that he has given you. So don't allow anybody to talk you out of it. That's not what the officers were there to do. He realized the officers there was to help him to get the job done. Every one of us has been given a headship. The first headship that you have is to control you. God has given you a free will and a spirit that is to control your mind and to control your body, which will determine where you go and what you do. Everyone here, God says, I've given you a headship, and you ought to know what the commandment is. You ought to know what you ought to do with your own bodies, with the life that I've given to you. Matter of fact, if you would, this biblical principle we find here, again, as we study the Old Testament, we find these biblical principles, it is spelled out in the New Testament. If it is a biblical principle, you'll find it spelled out somewhere in the New Testament scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Joshua's position was a position of headship to lead the nation of Israel to accomplish a great task. And so we find here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 27, Paul writing to the church, the believers at the church at Corinth, and he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection." Now, the members of the church at Corinth needed to hear this message. There was a lot going on in the church at Corinth, and Paul sent this letter to help them because it was inspired by God. God knew exactly what they needed, and Paul writes to them, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He's trying to set an example before them, and what he was saying, this is what I do, and it's what every one of you ought to do. And that is to control you. That is to make sure that you're doing what God would have you to do and not doing the things that God would not have you to do. When it comes down to it, everyone here will stand and give an account to God for what you do, not what anybody else does. No matter who you've allowed to influence you, you will not be able to bring them up at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved tonight, it'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. You will not be able to bring them up and say, "Well, this is what they did. It's their fault." Or they might even say, "The devil made me do it." And can I tell you, that's a lie. The devil hasn't made you, cannot make you do anything. He can put some thoughts in your mind. He can suggest some things to you. He can tempt you, but he cannot make you do anything. And you'll never give an account for something that you could not have controlled. But you will give an account for everything that you could have controlled. God has given you the headship of your own body. 1 Corinthians. This is one of the problems they had in the church at Corinth, and he addresses this in chapter 6, verse 18 down to verse 20. A lot of immorality in the church at Corinth. And so he says in chapter 6 and verse 18, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore," this is what God would have you to do, this is his marching orders for every one of us concerning ourselves, "for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Glorify God in everything about your body. Glorify God in how you present yourself to everyone else. Are you identifying more with the world, or are you identifying with Christianity? Glorify God in every word that is spoken out of your tongue. Glorify God in everything that you listen to. Glorifying God in everything that you look to. Whatever it might be, the Bible says that's what you're going to give an account for, because you have been given the headship of your body. So you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wow. So we find here that Joshua understood. I've been given the headship. I've been given a position to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. He had officers, but he didn't go to his officers and say, "I want you to help me to make a decision if we're going in or not." He used his officers to get the job done. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 5. I'm going to stay on this for just a couple more thoughts. Headship. The Bible has much to say about headship. Ephesians in chapter 5. In every family, God has given a headship. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, That's not what this preacher is saying of his own account. It's what he's reading to you from the very words of God. For the husband is the head of the wife. God has given you that position. He's not given it to you to ask the wife if you could lead her. He's given you a wife to help you lead her and accomplish what God has for you to do. He hasn't given you children in the home to ask if what they want to do, how they want to be led, what they want to watch on television, how they want to dress, where they want to go to church, how they want to be involved in ministry, whatever it might be. That's not what God has given the children in the home for you to use to ask to find out if whether or not you should do it or not. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. It's a very important position. If you have that, you'll give an account for that. Ephesians in chapter 6, right on down from there in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is a commandment, not a suggestion. And as the father in the home has been given the headship of the home, then that father is going to give an account for how the children have obeyed in the home. Because you know God's marching orders. You know what God wants from the children that he has placed under your headship. He goes on down to say in verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you've got the headship, better make sure that you know what the marching orders are and you give yourself to accomplishing that. Yeah. There's another one. Headship of the church is Christ. But Christ has left under shepherds here. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Now he's speaking about the church, the leadership of the church, that God has given a position of a rule over them, not to be lords, but to be under shepherds, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I don't think that I have to tell this crowd twice about what the biblical mandate and what God says about the church and the order of the church. God has the authority. This Bible represents God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This represents Jesus Christ and the teachings of Christ. This is the authority. God has called to every church a pastor. That pastor on his own does not have the authority. He has the authority to mandate that we follow this Bible right here. He doesn't have deacons to ask if they should or not. He doesn't have a congregation that he ought to ask if they should or not. When it comes down to what the Bible says, if you have been given the headship, then you have the marching orders. You just look to accomplish it and use what God has given you to accomplish it. As a church, a Lighthouse Baptist Church, we could not do all that we do without every member that God has planted in this church. I don't think we could do what God has for this church to do without the staff that God has given this church, without the deacons that God has given to this church, without the trustees that God has given to the church, and without every member and their spiritual gifts. It's up to the pastor to use what God has planted in the church and work together to make sure that we are going to accomplish what God has for this church to accomplish. But that which has already been presented, that which is in the scriptures right here, the pastor is not to get up and send out a paper to say, tell us what you think we ought to do. And then we'll take a survey, and whoever wins out, the majority wins, and we'll do that. That is not the way the church is to be run. But can I tell you, I'm not a lord over God's. It's God's church. It's not by my authority. It's by me just saying I want to follow the Bible. Matter of fact, he tells us something that equips us to do that. 2 Timothy. That's just the biblical church. It's what God designed it. It's what Christ designed it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's my job to make sure that's carried out inside the church. I'm not asking anybody whether or not I should do that. I'm doing that. And I'm gonna use everyone that God has given me to make sure that we're accomplishing this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I know that's coming. Preach the word. Go back to the doctrines that God has given us. Go back to the authority that you're standing upon. Preach that word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If God's given you a position of headship, make sure that you are accomplishing and doing everything you can to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish with that position. Amen. Yeah. Go back with me to our text, because that's just Joshua. That's what we've been looking at. That's exactly where Joshua's at. He's the man. God prepared him. God called him. He gave him this marching orders, and he told him, this is what you can expect from me, and this is what I want to expect from you. And so he knew exactly how to lead. Now, you have to make sure of the marching orders. And as you follow, make sure that you're following somebody that has the marching orders intact. That they can prove to you it's a marching order. It's what the Bible says. It's what God wants. Amen? Don't follow anybody blindly. You follow as we preach Sunday morning. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, look what we find here with Joshua. He got the command himself first. Look at verse 7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. So first of all, God's commanding Joshua through Moses as he was preparing him. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? He said, not only did Moses command you, but now did I have Moses command you, but now I've commanded you. I love that. Have not I commanded thee? So we find that God commanded Joshua. Joshua knew exactly what God commanded him to do. In verse 10, then, after he knew exactly what God had commanded him to do, then Joshua commanded the officers, take advantage of what God's given to you. Every husband here ought to take advantage of their wives and submit yourselves one to another as you work together to do what God has called you to do, especially in raising the children. If you find yourself in a single parent situation, then you have to take on the role of both parents. That's what you have to do. But understand what God would have the headship in the home to be. So after he knew his command, he commands the officers, and then look at verse 11. Then that pass through the host and command the people. He knew he would not be able to do it unless he had all the congregation, all of the nation of Israel involved in it. But God says, this is my structure. This is my what I have put together. And God does everything decently in order. There is structure to doctrine. There is structure to God's perfect will in our lives. So he says, as I've commanded you, now you go command the officers, and you're over the officers and the people, and have the officers make sure that they take that very same command and command the people so that everybody is on board to accomplish what God has them there to accomplish. Not going to fail like Moses did. Not going to fail like our forefathers did 40 years earlier. We're going to get the job done. That's their mindset. That's exactly what's going on with Joshua, because Joshua was there. He said, I never want to feel defeated like I did 40 years earlier again. Sometimes losing a ball game is good, because you know I never want that feeling again. Amen. That's right. All preacher, everybody needs to win and everybody needs to lose. I've often said, you know what you call someone who loves to lose? A loser. You might lose, and you better have some dignity, and you might lose, you know, some humility there. Amen. Learn some of that. Maybe that's why you lost. But never fall in love with losing. No, no. He understood what happened 40 years early, and I guarantee you, he said, not on my watch. I know the victory that Satan got. He'll never get that same victory again. And praise the Lord for it. Sometimes we have to go through that, and we go through some failures in life. Remember how that felt, and be determined. He'll never do that to me again. I'll never have to feel that again, because I am a conqueror. In Christ, I can do all things. Yeah. They were serious about this. You know how I know they were serious? Look at verse 18. And they said, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments... God put you in charge. We understand that. You have the leadership position. We're going to get behind you, and we're going to listen to what you say. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Yeah. They got serious. Yeah. No rebels in this group. If you knew if you started rebelling, they'd just stone you to death. I don't think there'd be too many rebels. I'll tell you what, I love what they've just done. I haven't read this. I heard this today from one of my friends I was talking to. He said that Texas just changed the law for looters. And now they get, if you're caught looting in Texas, 20 to life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody with a mentality to take advantage of people that have got hurt like that and those types of things going on, they need life in prison. If not, just go ahead and lethal injection. I'm for that. Just get, you know. I'm all for changing that law. I think if anybody would be guilty of killing a police officer or first responders, it ought to be automatic death penalty. There has to be deterrence. And evil people, that's the only thing that's going to keep them from their evil, is a deterrent. But I love this. God's people said, we're serious about this. And whoever does not do this, let them know. They're going to die. Because we're going to get the job done. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Now go back with me. Joshua chapter 1. Beware of first things first. Now I love this too. As Joshua now, he's addressing, commanded the officers, and had the officers to command the people. And the first thing the people are to hear what they should do. The first thing the officers are to command the people to do, saying, prepare your victuals. I like that. You have to eat. First things first, if you don't eat, you can't do anything. If you don't keep up your energy, but there's more to it than that. Victuals is food. That's what they're to prepare them ahead of time. Get ready, because if we're going to have an army that's going to do the job, we have to make sure they are fed. But more than that, what was really going to happen here is that manna would cease. God had been preparing and feeding them through the miracle of manna. But that was only to last until they crossed over Jordan. He's very much aware of everything. The manna would cease as soon as they crossed over. God's miracles are not to make us lazy. See, God will not do for us that which He has given us the ability to do for ourselves. Wow. Too many people are praying for too many miracles when you ought to be praying for strength to get the job done. Instead of God just send the money down from heaven to pay my bills, God, open a door where I can work. I tell people, you need to have a budget, because you need to know specifically how much you need in order to have a good testimony and to pay your bills. If you don't know that, how can you ask God to give you something you don't even know what you need? Do your part in it. Know what your bills are. Know what kind of a job you need. Know what it is you have to make in order to be able to make ends meet, whatever the necessity is, and start praying. And can I tell you that God, as He meets your needs, He'll answer that prayer by giving you that amount. Pray specifically. Understand, God is a God of order. If you're not doing everything you can do, don't expect God to do your part and His. Yeah. The man is going to cease, and so he says, what we first of all have to do is make sure that we have the victuals, we have the food to feed our people, to allow them to fight, to do the battle, to get the job done. Can I tell you, not only do we need that physical food, we need that spiritual food. If you're not getting that spiritual food from the church that God planted you in, you're not going to be spiritual enough to accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish. No one is forced to come to church. People say, well, we have too many church services. No one that's involved in the fight believes we have too many church services. If you're involved in the battles, if you're involved in fighting the devil and living that spiritual life that God wants you to live, you're thankful for every opportunity that you have to sit down and to feed. You don't get hungry sitting on the couch. You eat when you're on the couch, you just get fat, but you don't get hungry. Amen. You get hungry when you get out there and start working. You burn in energy. I love to burn energy, because then I can eat more food without gaining weight. Amen? That's, praise the Lord for that. You like to eat, then burn more calories. Practical. That's just practical stuff. Be aware of first things first. God is. Manna would cease in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12. We find this happens, and he says that. He says, Joshua 5, 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Good thing they were preparing. Yeah, yeah. Verse, go back with me and we're closing here. Verse 12 to verse 18, I love this. 2.5 tribes had land on this side of Jordan. 2.5 of the tribes, Moses had promised the land on this side of Jordan. But they were obligated to help others possess their land. In verse 16, and they answered Joshua. These were that 2.5 tribes. That's what Joshua was addressing, these tribes. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. We understand what Moses promised to us, what God promised to us, but we're not going to just think of ourselves. We'll continue to work as hard as we can until everybody has their possessions as well. Can I tell you, as we serve God together. I'm so thankful that I have opportunities to go to other sister churches and got pastor friends all over the United States. And even when I go on missions trips, when I go into a church and I see they've got the same Bible we have, that's some of the same music that we sing. Choir performs the very same specials. The preaching is just what I preach. I thank God. That we're in this together. Amen. United. In closing, just a couple thoughts on that, a couple verses that I really love that we need to hold on to, because Lighthouse Baptist Church, we're in this together. Amen. And this is the family of God that He has placed, put together. There's going to be some minor incidents here and there. I come from a family of 13, youngest of 7 boys, 6 sisters. I got in fights with my sisters more than I did my brothers, but we got in fights. But at the end of the day, we were family. Yeah. Psalms in chapter 133 in verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. You know who was the most pleased when our family dwelt together in unity? Mom and Dad. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father. He wants a unity of every one of His churches, every one of those local called out assembly bodies of Christ. And then He wants us to be unified together, not for the sake of unification, but for the sake of doctrine to get the job done. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4, we find this very same biblical truths in the New Testament. Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Every one of us have a part in the ministry in the local New Testament church. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They said, we're not going to just settle with getting ours, but we'll continue to fight for our brethren until everyone has the promised land. Yeah. Galatians in chapter 6. Let me just read these to you. Galatians 6 and verse 10, it says this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household, the family, if you will, of faith. Amen. And then the last verse, and we're done. Philippians in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't be so self-centered, but esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on things of others. There's 2.5 tribes. They knew that Joshua understood what God's will is, but before he could command that, they said, hey, kill any one of us that are not in agreement with this. But whatever you command us to do, whatever land you send us to go into, we're going to stick with this until it's all over. We're just not going to settle with ours, but we are going to do everything we can to help the family, all the family, accomplish everything God has for them to accomplish and receive the promises that God has for them. What a great mentality. What a great spirit. Spirit of Joshua. Wow. We can learn much from the life of Joshua. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. He understood he was given a position and he was going to fulfill whatever it was that God wanted him to accomplish in that position. And the people followed. And they were unified. I believe God has some great things. I think he's accomplished much through this church. We're doing a lot today. I know we are, but there's more. As the end gets closer and closer, the world is getting darker and darker, there's a greater need for this light. And we need to let this light shine brighter and brighter. We can only do that as everyone does their part. Not going to have a musical invitation, but as always, there's an invitation after every service. If you have a need to come to this altar, we invite you to come. If you have a need for somebody to pray with you, there'll be somebody to pray with you. Just do whatever it is that God has pricked your heart to do. Be all that God wants you to be. Anyone else, you need to come. And Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for this passage of Scripture, for this life of Joshua. Thank you for what we learn as we study your word, and what a blessing it is not only to have it in the Old Testament, but see it very clearly revealed to us in New Testament Christianity. And I pray, God, that we would surrender to be all that you would have us individually and collectively to be. I pray that you'd meet the need of each one that had a need tonight, come to this altar, made decision, strengthen them. Now be with us as we get ready to dismiss. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.